Hey, man. Alrighty. We're going to get started on the day. I'm going to pray first, and then there are some vital information that I need to share on today. And I pray that y'all give us wisdom and understanding. Let's pray. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today, and we just glorify you for, first of all, your presence. We just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth. We seek for wisdom and understanding. We just thank you for all that you do in our lives. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. We're going to be coming from John chapter 12. But there are some things that I'm going to be really transparent with you guys on today, and my reason for doing so is y'all reveal things, and so because he does reveal things, there are things that, you know, I'll back up a little bit. What we discussed in training school on this past Wednesday was that in a nutshell, that the Spirit of Yah gives us understanding, especially coming from John 14, everything that's been said already. And so there are certain things that Yah will show me, and I don't fully understand it. And I do what's called, I put it on the shelf until he gives me understanding of it. Once he gives me understanding of it, then, you know, I take it off and share it with y'all. Well, for the first time, he has given me understanding of things that he's told me, and I understand it today for the, and I'm just kind of checking. That's why I'm pausing. I understand it, and I mean checking with y'all. I understand it today, and I just wanted to make sure this statement was correct. That's why. I understand it today for the first time fully. I say it the way. I understand it fully for the first time today. We're going to be coming from John chapter 4, but I'm going to share some things again with you first before we deal with John chapter 4. And then I'll give you different. I'll give you different examples to show you what I mean from a perspective of that understanding that I have now. I've had several visions from Yah. You know, vision. You know how it's like you get some people that be daydreaming. Well, when Yah is dealing with you from that perspective, they're called visions, they're called trances, you know, different things like that, just different words that it's called. And so, and then you have dreams that will be information to have, it'll have truths to it and things like that. And but we have to have the wisdom of Yah to know when it's from Yah. You know, you may not realize, but you dream every night. It's just a lot of times you may not remember those dreams. And but there were times, especially in the scripture days, where Yah dealt with righteous and unrighteous men through dreams. And they were wise enough to, even the unrighteous men, they were wise enough to know that it was from Yah. Even though they didn't worship him, they would recognize it and different things like that. A lot of cases dealing with Abraham and dealing with, Jacob, Israel, you know, dealing with them, Isaac, dealing with them. There were times when they would have encounters with certain kings and stuff, and the kings would get their wives because they would always say that, you know, she's my sister, you know, type of deal. And because they was afraid that they were going to be killed because of the beauty of these women. And so our father Abraham was afraid that he was going to be killed. And so he told his wife Sarah, he said, tell, when we get to, you know, they got to Egypt, he's like, tell them that you're my sister. Well, technically she was his sister because it was his father's daughter, but he was trying to conceal it that she was his wife. And so Yah would deal with those kings because the king of Egypt, for example, took Sarah and, you know, he was going to take her to be his wife. And Yah came to him and was like, you know, boy, you're in trouble, and started judging his household. All the women couldn't have children and stuff like that. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff was happening to the Egyptians because of them taking Sarah, Abraham's wife. I like to call them our mother, Sarah, our father, Abraham's wife. And so from that perspective, Yah will deal with us in dreams and visions and trances and different things like that. Well, he's done these things with me as far back as I can remember. But I'm going to share one particular dream that I have, vision, whichever way you call it, it's all one and the same. And it is information that I'm giving you so that you can be aware of it, walk in wisdom of it. I had this dream years ago. I mean, it may be 15 or more years ago. It may be even further than that, but it was a long time ago when I had the dream, but I never said or never talked to you as a whole about it, as a church as a whole about it. Well, Yah has released me to share that information with you today. And from this point on, for you guys to understand at the level by which I understand these visions, okay? In this vision that I had, and again, I've had several of them, but this is the one that he wants me to deal with today. In this dream, I was driving. For church services. When I pulled in the parking lot, it was a large parking lot. It was a large parking lot and also a large building. So when I pulled in the parking lot, I was like, wow, man, everybody always already here. I mean, it was cars everywhere. And the strange thing about it, as y'all was dealing with me in this dream, when I pulled up and I saw the parking lot, it was full of cars. Then the building went transparent and I could see inside the building as I was driving up the park. And I mean, it was wall to wall. People were everywhere. And so my family and I walked in the service. And when I did, there were four women standing on the stage. One of them was preaching and the other three were standing behind her. As I walked up on the stage, or when I walked in, it was like there was a surprise. It was like the four women were surprised. And as I walked up on the stage, the one that was up preaching, she stepped back from the podium in between the other three. And I went up to the podium and I addressed the audience. And then I started rebuking these four women. When I rebuked these four women, I then took them around off the stage into the back area of behind the stage, and that was my office area. And I started to rebuke them again in the dream because, again, you know, one of my reasons for rebuking them was because they were on stage doing something that was out of order. And so, back up a little bit, as I started rebuking them on the stage, there were people that stood up in the audience and started rebuking me. And those people, as they began to rebuke me, y'all understand what rebuke means, right? Okay, they as I corrected the four women, people in the audience got up and felt that they needed to correct me. They're like, you should have stopped her from preaching and different things like that and stuff. Well, all the people that stood up, they all left. They all walked out of the building. Well, as they walked out of the building became transparent again, and I could see out in the parking lot from the podium. And as these people walked out and got in their cars, they was driving out of the parking lot. As they was driving out of the parking lot, as many cars drove out of the parking lot, twice as many were driving into the parking lot. And as they were leaving, people were coming, and it was just lines of cars coming in as these cars were leaving out of the parking lot. And it was just, they was flooding in the place. Well, I took the three women back and started to rebuke them, to correct them. And when I did, that's when I woke up. Well, when I woke up, Yah spoke to me and said, there are four women that are hindering the church. And he said, I'm going to remove these four women. He said, when I remove these four women, he said, the church is going to explode with growth. He said, but I have to remove these four women. So when he said that, I know who the four women are. I'm not going to call any names and things like that, but I clearly identified the four women. And so as he told me this, again, I was understanding it at the level by which he had given me at the time. And so the first one left the ministry. The second one left the ministry. The third one left the ministry. And then the fourth one left the ministry. And what Yah was showing me from a perspective of these four women was that they were symbolic of what he was not going to allow to be attached to the ministry. Okay. Three of the women that left were my sisters. One of them was not a sister. And he said that he said this is how they would this is how they had to operate. And he was like, now this is what I understand now, so I'm gonna wait to the end and explain that. And so as I saw three of them leave, I knew there was only one left that had to leave. And so moving forward from these three women, because Yah is showing me in detail, he's teaching me. You remember how I teach, I always say, Elder also, we always say, we must be a precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. What that means is that when we deal with scriptures, we deal with it linking scripture to scripture, but at the same time, we understand things a little bit at a time. Okay, a little bit at a time. And so so I'm going to move in the next facet of this understanding. I met with a gentleman a few years ago, and there were some things that he was supposed to do for the ministry. And what I told him, knowing what he was going to do ahead of time, because Yah had already shown me, but y'all, and I'm going to say this before I explain it. You have to make sure that when you live for Yah, when you put your trust in Yah, it has to exactly be that. You got to put your entire trust in Yah. We have to put our entire trust in Yah. We can't play with this thing. We're in the time frame. Y'all know we've been talking about this. We're in a time frame now where we cannot be playing with Yah in these days. We're in a time frame now where Yah is so serious that the blessing as well as the judgment that's taking place, you can't afford, you or we cannot afford to be on that judgment side in what Yah is doing in these days. We got to operate in this blessing side. You have to make sure that you're operating in this blessing, because what Yah is finna do, boy, trust me, don't put your confidence in yourself. Don't put your confidence in your ability, you know, your talents, your skills, your riches. Don't put your trust in that, because Yah finna, man, I almost got get on you then. Got to be careful, man. Yah finna slap, yeah, that out of some folks. You know, I got babies, so I be careful. Certain cities, I say certain things, certain time of want. We ain't in a time frame to be playing now. Well, this gentleman, I told him, I said, listen, knowing he was going to do these things ahead of time, but Yah says you the parallel. I call you to bring a blessing or a judgment. It depends on how people treat you. That's what he told me. And so this particular gentleman, I knew he was going to do what he was going to do, but at the same time, I had to trust Yah and put resources in his hand, knowing that he was going to do what he was going to do. Yah had me to put $5,000 in this man's hand, knowing he was going to mess it off. Now, you who trust in your riches, Yah can't use you. See, because there are times that he's going to have you to do things just to bring about his will of path, and it may not be exactly what you would normally do. Can you imagine putting $5,000 in a man's hand knowing he ain't finna do what he said he was going to do, and then to trust Yah and do what Yah just told you to do? Those type of decisions get us to where we are now. See what I'm saying? So you have to obey Yah with that little before he can put much in your hand. If he can't trust you with little thing, he can't trust you with much. And what you think much ain't nothing in comparison to what he want to trust you with. But until he can trust you with a little, he can't trust you with much. And what you call much, he does exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. So I put that in this man's hand, but this is what I told him. I said, and I like to put myself in the picture. So I said, listen, if we don't handle this right, remember I said we, because I don't ever come across any that said what Yah gonna do to you, but then think I'm too big for him to do it to me. So I like to say we. I like to say we preachers, because they keep me balanced. I like to say we in trouble, and we got to do right instead of you got to do right. Like I'm exempt. So I told him, I said, we don't handle this right, you and I. I said, Yah is going to kill our children. Well, he only had one. I said, Yah is going to kill our children. Well, because his mind is carnal, he didn't understand at the level by which I was speaking. So he took the money and went and blew it off. Didn't do what he's supposed to do, just exactly like the way Yah said that he was going to do. And he got arrogant about it, not to me, but to people that I knew that introduced me to him. So he got arrogant about it, and he started saying, yeah, you know, here Lon think he this, and he think he that, and he going to have the nerve enough to say, you know, this would happen, or he can bring this kind of judgment and all these different things. So, you know, he got the nerve enough to say all these things. And he kind of laughed about it. Now, remember what I said, if we don't do this right, our children are going to die. Well, his son has the mindset of what society would call a genius. Very intelligent, was at the time had opportunities for scholarships to you know, Yale's and these different things like that. This boy was classified as a genius by people who do that kind of stuff. And so after time went by, I ended up going to to his house. The visit of Yah led me to go there, and a lady that knew the both of us, she took me over there. Well, when I got there, his son, who he's just graduated, he's a senior at the time, was in his room. And when I walked in the house, he started asking if we could help his son. And the lady who was with me, she didn't understand what it meant, but I did. And when he came out, he was like, "Well, he in the room." Said he don't hardly ever come out of that room. Said he stays in that room pretty much 24/7, and he very seldom come out. If he come out, he'll get his food and go right back in there. Whatever he do, he'll come out, he'll go right back in, and he basically stayed locked up in that room all day and night. And so he got the boy to come out, and when he came out, Yah said, "He dead." That guy was thinking I was talking about physical death. But Yah said, "I'm talking about spiritual death." There's two ways to skin a cat, so to speak. Yah said he dead. Look at him. He smelled like he was dead. He looked like he was dead. And all of his actions were the actions of someone who was dead. And what I mean by dead, had no purpose, no function, no activity, no nothing whatsoever. Just like Yah led me to say when I put the money in his hand. His decision caused now this is his only child. His decision caused the destruction of his seed. All because he got arrogant behind something that he looked at from a corner perspective instead of recognizing the authority that I walked in by the leading of the Spirit of Yah, and he did not accept what I was telling him, because I was putting myself in those shoes too. And his son to this day is dead. He will never amount to anything. He will never do anything. His life will be in that room for the rest of his life. And I told him this. I said, "You're going to see I said, if we don't do this right, I am going to live to see my children die, and you will also live to see your child die if we don't do this right." Well, he lived to see it, and he still don't know what's going on. And Yah hadn't led me at this point to tell him that the boy dead. Now, y'all remember, a specific brother-in-law, because he was with me a lot when it was going on. You know the guy up at the building? Used to always give us problems, brother-in-law. Always calling, cold, complaining, doing all kinds of stuff, taking pictures. You remember that guy? You remember when we got information that he was dead? He ain't dead, but he dead. I saw that man not too long ago, and it was like a whole completely different human being. "How you doing, sir? How you doing?" This, I'm looking at him like, "Who in the heck is this?" It looked like the same man, but it's not the same man, because he dead. That man that was giving us problems, when information came back to us that he was dead, and I started telling y'all that he was dead, that man is dead to this day. The man who caused us problems for all these years has been dead for years, roughly about 3 years or so. That is not the same man. Again, there's two ways to kill a cat. There's two ways to skin a cat, basically. Now, I come full circle now. The four women is a symbol of what has to take place at the ministry, at this church. And when I say ministry, I'm not just talking about the church. We are the church. We're the gathering of the body. When we come together, we're the church. The building is not a church. The building is just a building. You can turn the building into a club when it's said and done, because we as a whole are the church. Each one of us individually are saints, but each one of us individually doesn't make up a church. It has to be a congregation before it's a church. Okay? People always go around talking about, I am the church. I said, not by yourself, you're not. You are a saint by yourself. You may be a child of Yah by yourself, but you are not the church. The church has to have an assembling of themselves together to be classified as the church. An individual is never a church. A building is never a church. So these four women who were actual people symbolizes what Yah doesn't want at this ministry, because it is what he's doing with this ministry is so kingdom, is such kingdom that he cannot allow any one of us to hinder it, any one of us, including me, to hinder it. When certain things happen that is contrary to what Yah has designed for where he's going with us, he immediately want to cut it off or do things to cut it off. So it is not an attack on you. It is an attack on what Yah don't want in you. You got to realize that. You got to realize whenever Yah make move, you know, I tease my sister all the time. She be like, boy, my brother put me out of church so many times. No, I didn't put her. I put out something that Yah didn't want. Other people, I put out, other people have gone on because there was something in them that Yah did not want. And when Yah don't want it, he get it out of the way. Now, there are two ways that it can happen. It can go from you or it can go with you, but it got to go. Y'all hearing this? It can go from you or it can go with you, but either way it go, it can't stay here. Because of what Yah is doing. Now remember, these four women are symbol. So it can be a man or a woman or a child. Anything that doesn't line up with what Yah is doing in these days, Yah said, I am going to move it out of the way. Either the individual will go physically or I will take something away from them that I don't want. What do John say? Every branch in me that bears fruit, I purge it. I take things off that it may bear other more fruit. If it doesn't bear fruit, he said, I cut it off. So if you are a branch, or since you are a branch, if you're not willing to bear what Yah want, not what we want, if we're not willing to bear what Yah want, Yah said, I'm going to cut that part off. And if that part don't bear no fruit, he said, I'll cut it off. Thus, there were people that he had to physically move on. And there were people that had things going on in their spirit where Yah said, I got to move that on. Because what I am taking you as a ministry, it is so kingdom minded. It is such a symbol of what he want to do. He said, everything across the board got to be bearing fruit. And if it ain't bearing the kind that I want, I'm going to either take that branch off or move them physically out of the way. That's what's going on. That's how he's doing things. It is going to get harder and harder for people to stay a part of this if they don't bear the fruit that Yah wants out of us. It's vitally important that we understand this concept. I finally realized what the four women were actual people that had things in them that Yah didn't want. But what Yah was saying, if they got rid of what was in them that I didn't want, they could stay. But since they wouldn't, he said, you go and don't come back. That same thing applies to each one of us here on today. The reason why I was late getting here is because Yah had me to leave this morning and go up to the building to deal with a spirit that he didn't want in the building. That's why I'm dressed like this, you know, up there, and the the guy who's basically our general contractor who's over this, he was shocked when I walked in and told him the things that y'all showed me that was going on at that particular time. He was shocked, and he made the individual completely leave the property. He was like, "Get off here." He looked at me, he said, "Because what y'all is doing here, he don't want anything that's not operating according to divine purpose and his will." He said, "You get off here and don't you ever come on this property again." Somebody he had got one of his own workers. And so this is what's going on. What y'all is doing with us, anything that doesn't want to line up with the will and plan for y'all said, cut the cord. Thus Christ said, who is my brother? Who is my mother? Who is my family? He said, those that obey the will of Yah is my brother, is my sister, is my mother, and so on and so forth. That's why I make the statement. I got people that's related to me, that's a part of the church, that's not my family. And I got people that are not related to me, that are a part of the church, they are my family, because it's a kingdom concept. And I even told this general contractor who happened to be a bishop, I said, look, I have no ties to no one apart from the purpose of Yah. I will separate from anyone, my mother, Yah rest her soul, my mother, my sister, my brother, my wife, my kids, anybody that I'm connected to, I will disconnect from them if it doesn't line up with purpose. I have no ties. You're looking at someone who is a foolish thing for Yah, to the point where I will disconnect from anything that does not want to line up with Yah. Now, my best friend Mitchell is here. He can tell you. Now, he know him and his little brother. We all brothers. He know how we are. We've been, I met him when I was six, and his brother was about four, somewhere up in there. I mean, and man, when things ain't right, we'll drop him like a hot piece of coal. Because that's how my mind should work. My son would tell you, Elder, he's probably closer to me than pretty much, anybody. We spend a lot of time together. We talk about a lot of things. He's close, but he know I'd drop him in a heartbeat. I love him dearly. That's my son. I call him son. That's my boy. Hear what I'm saying. He ain't like my son. He's not somebody I look at and say, well, that's my son. But, that's my son. By association type of deal. No. That's my boy. That's mine. That's my son. He's no different to me than my girls. That's my son. That's how I look at him. That's how I see him. That's how he see me. Sure, I'll drop him in a second. He know it. Because when it comes down to kingdom, I'm attached to nothing that will hinder, that will cause me to hinder the work of the kingdom. I'm attached to nothing. I love each one of you, but I'll turn my back on you in a minute if you ain't lining up with the kingdom of Yah. So I always put it like this. I ain't better than Yah, the God we serve. If he'll turn his back on the people who he loved, then why I can't do the same thing who I love if they don't want to line up with him? I'm no better than him. And so you have to understand who Yah has put into your presence. He's put somebody in your presence to leave you who is madly and passionately and affectionately and crazy in love with him, to the point to where nothing, absolutely nothing, will separate me from the love of Yah. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, I love my grandkids, but they ain't gonna mess with me and Jesus, though. Nothing. Nothing will separate me from the love of Yah. I will disconnect from anybody if they come between me and my God. Now, I say that to say this. We have to make sure that we are all lining up with the will of Yah, or he moved physically. He moved things spiritually. And I got to mess with you, little sis. She keep asking me, why you keep putting me out of the church? No, I'm putting something in you out of the church. You know, me and my youngest sister, we probably as close. I put my brother in that category too, but me and my, because we spend more time together, me and my youngest sister, we probably as close as any of my siblings. Because we spent the most time together. I done put her out of church more than any of them. I'll tell you something. It's not her. That's my baby sister. Boy, I'll crack you upside the head, you fool, my baby sister. I get crazy in a minute. But I be getting rid of her when I see something in her that don't line up with y'all. I don't like the spirit. I just saw, bye. You mean to tell me? Yeah. I just did it here recently. She said, I receive it. I said, I receive it too. Until you unreceive it, and that's in you that y'all don't want is gone, we both receive it at this point. Well, here she back here again. I said, boy, she just ain't gonna quit, boy. Because what's in her that keep pulling her back is what y'all want. And what he doesn't want is what he keep making me put out the door. She don't mind me using her as example. Well, if she did, I don't care. It's y'all, you know. I always did crazy stuff to her while I'm going to start preaching this stuff. These things are vitally important. Each one of you got to know that I love you dearly, but don't come between me and y'all. I'll crack your skull spiritually. Now, here's what has to take place. And remember, Elder, you know how we roll. You always can chime in anytime you want to. Just stop me whenever you need to do something here. Here's what we all have to do. I'm going to just read verse 24. There are some other things I was going to deal with, but I'm not for the sake of the time. John 12, verse 24. Says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. You know, when you plant seed in the ground, did you know the seed has to die before it comes up and give us what we can eat? You know, when you plant wheat in the ground, when you see that wheat field or that corn field, before you can get that corn on the cob, so to speak, it comes from a little grain of corn that has to go in the ground and die first. In other words, you don't get a healthy plant until the seed dies. The seed has to die in order for something to come up out of it and produce itself. So he takes that same concept and apply it to scripture, and apply it so we can understand a kingdom principle. So in verse 24 again, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Anything from a kingdom perspective that Yah has something to do with, he said, if it's not willing to die, it ends up just being there by itself. Thus, faith without works is dead. Faith that buys alone, if you just saying I'm believing Yah for something, you never have any corresponding action. If you're believing Yah for change and you never experience the change, it is because there is nothing you're doing to bring about the change. Your faith in Yah for change is all by itself. So I tell people, I show you my faith with my actions, not what I say. You get a lot of people who want things in life, who expect changes in life, but they just do the same old thing. That is a seed in the ground by itself. It's not going to produce anything. So it says, except it die, it abideth alone. It is all by itself. Faith without works, faith without something with it is dead all by itself. It's not going to produce anything. It says, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So every tree, every plant that you see that bears fruit abundantly, that seed has died in order to do that. With that in mind, we have to be the same way. Look at it now. Verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Anything about us that we love more than we are willing to submit it to Yah, Yah, see, you're going to lose that very thing. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. In other words, whatever we're willing to allow to die for the sake of Yah, if I allow me, you remember I tell you all the time, I said back in the day, Yah used to tell me that he called me to preach, and I used to say, no, I called me to play professional football. And Yah would say, you will not do anything you want to do until you do what I've called you to do. And guess what? I told him, I said, we gonna see. Man, that dude is dead. Y'all kept allowing me to go through and to go through, and nothing ever worked right. I went into camp, made it. He still wouldn't let me play. I wanted to be a fireman, went through it, passed the test, passed the drill, went through all that stuff. He still went. He was keeping his word. You're not going to do nothing until you do what I want you to do. In other words, learn until you die, you'll never live. So all these things in each one of our lives is happening because Yah is saying, I want you to die. I can't use you if you don't die. Yeah, it's right there waiting on you, but you got to realize you're in your seed stage right now. Seed stage right now. You're just a seed, and I got to get you to die before I can bring forth everything out of you that I put in there. But as long as you're living, you'll never amount to nothing. I'm going to either have to kill you or cut stuff off of you. You got to die. Verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. See, now when Christian folk hear this, they think he's talking about in heaven. Well, if I just serve him where he is, that's where I'm going to be. So I'm going to heaven. That ain't what they're talking about. Let's look at it and see what it's talking about. Verse 26. If any man serve me, what is the word serve? Let's look at it here. Verse 26. If any man serve, if any man be an attendant, if any man wait on me, okay, as a friend, if any man minister to me, if he serve me. So when we look at from a perspective of serve, it means to minister, to be a servant of Yah, to do what he has called us to do or what he desires for us to do. So if any man serve me, let him follow me. What does follow mean? Follow means union. Y'all said, if you're going to be mine, you got to be on the same page with me. We got to be union. We got to follow. We got to accompany. So Yah said, if you're on my side, if my son is your savior, you have to be union with him and I. That's what he's saying. Let him follow me. So me following, when I say I'm following Yah, I'm saying I'm in union with him. Whatever he's doing, that's what I'm doing. Whatever he's talking about, that's what I'm talking about. Whatever actions he take, those are the actions that he take. I can't say I'm a follower of Christ and I don't do what he do. What does he do? Let's look at it. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also he be. Colon. Where is Christ? Christ is in the will of the Father. Therefore, if we're in Christ, we have to be in the will. So they ain't talking about where I am. He's saying, if you're union with me, then what I'm doing, you should be doing. That's where I am. where I am, there will you be. In other words, whatever I'm doing, that's what you're doing. However I'm thinking, that's how you're thinking. That's being where he is. They ain't talking about no trip to heaven. That's talking about a state of mind. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Him will my Father honor. Being where Yah is, and or where Christ is, Christ made these statements. He said, I do nothing except my Father give it to me. I and my Father are one, therefore I follow him. Paul made the statement, follow me, be union with me as I am a follower, a someone who is in union with Christ. So it's from that perspective, we have to be on the same page in everything that we do, because we're on the same page with Yah, we're on the same page with Christ, who's on the same page with his Father. And if all of us on the same page, we should be all sane and doing and operating in the same perspective. If we're not going in the same direction, then trust me when I tell you this, y'all gonna either kill that's in you that's not on the same page with what Yah is doing, or he gonna move you. There's no other option. We got to be committed to what Yah is doing, what all of us are. Yah said, I have to kill that. If you're not going to follow me, if you're not going to be a follower of me, I have to kill that. If you don't want that to die, then guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to get you closer and closer to the door until it shuts. Thus, my spirit shall not, that's not the one. Thus, you gonna seek me while I may be found and call on me while I am near. If you're not gonna seek me while I may be found, then it's gonna come a day when I'm gonna move completely out of your way. And when you start to call on me in your time of need, I am not gonna be nowhere near. Seek me while I may be found. That's relationship. Call up on me while I am near. That is relationship. Then he said, let the wicked forsake his way, because the wicked can't do that. So y'all understand, you know, I tease my girls a lot of time. You know, when they don't understand me from a spiritual perspective, I say this as a little cliche to make them, to make their mind snap, and then they get on the same page with me. I say, oh, don't pay no attention to me. I'm just a preacher some of the time. When I give them wisdom and they don't want to hear it, I say, oh, don't pay no attention to me. I'm just a preacher some of the time. Go and do what you're going to do. I'm just a preacher only when I stand in front of the podium. You know I don't stand, I said. But I do. I'm only the preacher when I'm in church service. Other than that, don't pay no attention to me now. I ain't the preacher. So I say that as a cliche to get them to realize, you know what, whenever I'm dealing with you, as crazy as it may sound, and as crazy as I may come across sometimes, I am doing it because Yah is leading me to do it that way, because it's something in you that he don't want. And sometimes the only time we really see it is you know, the only time I would get stuff sometime when mama slapped the heck out of me. Long she was saying, Lon, stop. I was hard-headed little boy. My grandson, he chip off the old block too, man. Boy, he a good boy too, but boy, he's a chip off the old block, boy. My granddaughter is too. I'd be like, boy, them pawpaw kids. You know, sometimes they'd be asking, like, where they get that from? I go walk off in another room somewhere because I know where they got it from. Sometimes I don't listen to mama until she start biting her. You know, mama had a deal when she would get mad and bite the palm of her hand at the bottom red above her wrist. When you see her bite that, you better run, boy. You better, yeah, and that side too. When you see her bite the side of her hand or the palm of her hand right above her wrist, when you see her do that, you run for your life, because, boy, you ain't no telling what's coming at you. I mean, one time she did it, I took off running. When I shut the door, I heard something hit the door, and I opened the door, the knife was waving. Whoa, whoa, whoa. When mama get mad, boy, you in for it. But there were times when she would come at me that way because of the love that she had for me. She was like, boy, I'm going to get out of you what I want out of you. I'm going to kill you to get out of you what I want out of you. But I'm going to get it. Or your pastor love you enough to do you that way. When I come at you harshly, that's the level of the love that I have for you. To the point to where I come across at you in a way to make you say, wait a minute, why did that happen? He crazy, but there's something going on to make him come at me that way. Let me sit down and take a look at it. Understand that where we're going, Yah is doing me the same way. You know, one thing I love about my son, he'll say this. He said, you know what, there are certain things I know I'm not in a position to deal with you on. I will say things. He has corrected me about things as Yah lead him. He said, but there are some things I know that it's not my position to correct you. So I put you in the hands of the one who I know can correct you. So that time when I'll be like, I don't agree with him on that, he said, I don't say nothing. I go in, then before you know it, I'll be coming back saying, man, you mean when I said that right there, man? Man, I was wrong for that, man. Yah told me up. He'd be like, yep, that's exactly what I was doing. I don't have to correct you. I know who your authority is, and I know you love him. And when you get out of line, he gonna jerk the slack out of you. That's the confidence that he have, not in me, but in Yah. The confidence that he have in me is that he know I love Yah enough, and he like, okay, he love Yah enough. Yah gonna deal with him on that. I ain't gotta say nothing. So from that same perspective, when I come at you that way, do not take it personally, because I done forgot about it that evening. After I said it, I ain't even think about it no more. You sitting there worrying about it, I ain't thought about it since. Because I deal with what I see, and I move on. And some folks, you know, they remember what everybody did to them last summer. It's like that movie. I remember what you did to me last summer. I'm like, what? I don't remember what I did to you 5 minutes ago. I sure ain't gonna remember what I did to you last summer. Huh? 10 years ago, you still remember? 10 years ago. So I'm glad that you're being honest with that, my Secretary of State. Because what that tells you, if you can remember that from 10 years ago, there's something in you that Yah doesn't want. Because he wants you to be able to forgive and move on. Because he's saying there are things that you did that was wrong. He said, but I love you enough and I forgave you and I called you my child and I put whatever you did wrong in my forgetful category. And I don't let that be an issue with you anymore. And if you're going to be a child of mine, you got to follow me and forgive others just like I forgave you. You can't take that where we're going. Whatever's going on with each one of us, we can't take that from this day where we've been called to. Even to the point to where, you know, our general contractor, you know, I call him Bishop. You know, that's what took me so long to get back. We were just up there talking about that kind of stuff, and he was just laughing. He was like, man, he said, when you came in here and you started talking to that guy, and I was looking at him saying, this is what he just said and what he just did. I was like, yeah. And immediately, he walked him off the property, walked him all the way off the property. Don't you ever come back here no more. Get away from you. You will never sit foot in this place again as a work of mine. He said, because what Yah is doing, what Yah is doing here, it is so important. It is such a valor part of the kingdom that I don't want anybody putting their hands to anything that is not going to glorify him. He's seeing it. He's seeing it. He's seeing what Yah is doing with us as far as the kingdom is concerned. You got to see it now. You got to see him and really understand what you are a part of. You are part of a miracle. This is a miracle you're witnessing. You're a part of it. So when we set foot in there, even what we're doing now, what's going on with us now, y'all said, I can't lie, y'all be playing. You're too important. You got to realize what you're part of. You got to follow me. You know, there were some things that even I was, you know, even I had shared, you know, Mama Coles, Adam and I, we've been talking a lot because we've been mainly the one that's kind of been overseeing the project. And so we communicate a lot on, you know, here on a daily basis. It's like 3, 4, 5 times a day we communicate in one fast or another. And in one of the discussions that we had, I was saying, you know, I appreciate the trust that they have in me for allowing me to do the things that I do as you know, in the position that I hold. And they'll tell you the same thing. I give them complete authority to do what they do, and I trust their decision making because we're all following Yah. You know, it's like we were dealing with a few weeks ago, a week before last or something like that, where we was talking about the integrity of the upright, the moral righteousness. They know that I operate in moral righteousness to the point where they say I got complete trust in what my pastor is doing. Well, I have complete trust in their moral righteousness to let them do whatever they're doing because I know they're doing it to the best of their ability according to the gift that Yah has given them from a perspective of moral righteousness. I don't have to sit there and say, I wonder if they're going to do it right. I know it's going to be beyond that I even ask or think. I was like, man, I was like nice, but I wasn't talking about that kind of nice. Y'all went above my imagination. So I'm looking at pictures of the finished things, the way things are going to look. I'm oohing and aahing myself. I'm like, man, I ain't waiting till this happens. All of us have to follow as we follow Christ. Because Christ is a follower of his Father, Yah. You got to get to the point where we have so much complete trust in one another. In whatever we're putting together, whatever you do, let it be for Yah. Don't come up in here with your own ideas. If it ain't an idea that's not gonna glorify the kingdom of Yah. My daughter is gonna be the director of the daycare. She better not be coming up in there talking about her daycare. Get smacked the did. You gonna get out of here and we'll get us another director. Because this daycare is kingdom daycare. You just an employee. And you do it to the best of your ability. All of us have to have that same mindset. You have to realize that you are a part of the kingdom. And every idea that you have, Yah gave it to you to glorify him, not you. And if any of your ideas is your ideas, it'll never set foot on that property. But at the same time, what y'all want to do with your idea is take it and be glorified in it. And whatever you have in your mind of accomplished is going to be way more than what you imagine anyhow. My daughter want to be that director, and it's going to exceed abundantly above all she can ask or think because she understands that it's something that is kingdom, not her. Oh, she gonna be blessed doing it. It's gonna enable her to live well doing it. But if her mindset is, this is mine, guess what she gonna be on the outside of that gate looking in? Care if she my daughter. All of us gotta be kingdom minded. We gotta follow Christ. And we gotta do what he has called us to do to the highest degree. All of your ideas, we welcome them. But y'all better be the center of it, or it'll never happen on that campus. Okay? He gave that idea to you. He put it in your heart to carry it out. But now take your heart and turn it toward him and watch him take your idea and take it beyond what you ever imagined. I thought about my brother-in-law when I said that. He loved doing things for kids. He always talking about bounce houses and trains and all that. Y'all may want him to have his own park. His home, he may put Fred Park out of business. if he get kingdom minded. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying that's the condition. Kingdom minded, y'all say I do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. I give you a part if you put me in the center of it. But if everything is revolved around, man, I got to put this together for me. I got to do it for me. Y'all say, yeah, it's going to be put together all right. It's going to be put together on sand. And it's going to crumble every time you look around. Every time the wind blows, it's going to be falling in. Y'all say, because my name is not on it. Put Yah's name in everything you do and watch him bless it. Okay, I'm through fussing now. Y'all got it? You had anything, Elder? I probably said a whole lot of stuff. You had something to say, and it's probably, I was going so fast, it just left you. I mean, anything you got to say, you
welcome. The only comment I had was on the forgiveness part. And it's funny that you brought it up, because it's something that y'all showed me on the way coming here. And just the example that he showed me was, got to take that understanding and apply it in other areas too. But the example that he showed me was, let's say you have a child that has a child under undesirable circumstances, let's say from the parent's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, let's say that happened wasn't a good thing. But if you take that and then carry it over to the child, it's a circumstance, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you don't walk in that forgiveness that you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
then you'll take that and carry it over into the life of the child. The child didn't have any choice over the circumstance how they came in, mm-hmm. and you'll treat that child a certain way.
Right.
When if you were walking in that forgiveness like what you were talking about, then even though you don't like the circumstance, you wouldn't treat that child any different than you anybody else.
Right.
So from that perspective, it's almost like with Yah with us. Like, okay, we did some wrong, the circumstances is what it is. If we get it right,
mm-hmm.
then he ain't gonna treat us any different than anybody else.
Right. Amen. Amen. This is where we are, y'all. This is what he's doing with us. And he wanna do some wonderful things with us, but he want those wonderful things based upon our full commitment to him. And so I want to encourage you, commit to the Father and the Son the way that he wants us to do it. That's what I'm making the effort to do. I'm not perfect, but I'm striving toward perfection. I love my God. Boy, look at him. And I want to see him glorified in everything that I do. I want him to be everything that he has called us to be. Well, y'all wait till y'all see the finished product of this building at the level by which it's being put together and Yah is being glorified in it. It is going to be mind-blowing, the level of excellence he's putting in there. People will come from all over the world to see it. It is the remnant center. The called out, to excel, to abound. That's what we're saying. When you come in here, you're going to excel. You're going to abound. Whatever you're putting your hands to, it's going to excel. It is going to abound. This whole community is fixing to excel and abound. That's what's going on there. You have to discern. Recognize, you have to understand what you are a part of. This is not your little, I come to church service and that's it type of deal. This is a kingdom thing that's happening here. That's what's going on. Okay? Any questions? We good? Not? I'm done? All right. Everybody? Okay. Father Yah, we bless your name. We thank you for giving us the wisdom and understanding enough to see the big picture of what you meant with the dreams and the visions and bringing about the understanding of everything that has taken place and all the examples that were used. We just bless you for that and thank you for giving us a little bit at a time so that we can come into the full understanding of it. And we just glorify you and we bless you for your dear son. In his name we do pray. Amen.